We are live with Representative Speaker of the House, Representative Bryce Edgman. He is the representative for the Aleutians East Borough and much of the Southwest Alaska area, including Unalaska and Dillingham. He is on the phone right now and ready to talk with what's going on right now in Juneau. We all have so many questions about what's happening, and I know that you're so busy, so I want to say thank you very much, Representative Edgman, for coming on today.
It's my pleasure, Austin. I really appreciate the opportunity and look forward to visiting with you and your listeners for the time that we have today.
Yeah, hopefully we can get you on a few times throughout the year. I know it will be hectic for you guys, but it's great to hear just what's happening and to get updates, especially in a time like this where just kind of lead in. Everyone knows, I think, that what happened when the governor dropped his budget, maybe no one really could predict how much attention it received, but very quickly, social media and all sorts of other outlets threw out the budget, and Governor Mike Dunleavy decided that he wanted to present a budget that cut $1.6 billion out of what was previously expended, and that has had quite an impact. Would you like to share with us how you see that impacting the Southwest region and the Aleutians East Borough, Representative Edgman?
Well, first, let me say that I think the legislature is going to be fairly successful in pushing back on most of the reductions. What the governor might do after that in terms of the legislature getting him the budget, that's an open question at this point. But honestly, if you look at everything that he's proposed and just sort of stack it up like cardboard boxes, one on top of the other, well, you wouldn't get very high because the boxes would start to collapse. And you know, you look at Sandpoint, for example, the Marine Highway System, power cost equalization, community assistance, a quarter of the school's budget being cut, Medicaid having an impact on the health clinic, all of the money for the public broadcasting being zeroed out. And that's just for starters. There's also senior benefits, legal services, a whole host of programs in health and social services, and other agencies, Department of Commerce, Department of Corrections, and the public safety, that if they were all were to go, you know, in effect, would essentially just take the rug from underneath a small community like Sandpoint or other smaller communities throughout the state. So we just, you know, had a good meeting with the governor, and he's willing to, or so he says, to, you know, to work with us. And you're absolutely spot on in terms of the public across the state being engaged like they've never been engaged before. I think the prospects of deep cuts across the board have really garnered a lot of attention. And, you know, I think that we all see this as an opportunity to get more public involvement, get the public aware of, you know, what really is essential services and how we're going to pay for it, and the fact that, we also have to come to grips with the Permanent Fund Dividend. Because at this point, what the governor's proposed is essentially cutting a large swath out of the budget in lieu of funding a dividend that would be double, essentially double the size it was in 2018 last year. So some big choices, and I'm more than happy to have conversations with people individually or like we're doing here on the radio, but I think it's something that we definitely need to engage in.
So let me ask you this just to kind of get, there's so much to talk about, but to give it some direction, like you said, 25% out of kindergarten through 12th grade education cut, 41% out of the state university system, 65% for the Alaska Marine Highway, which would eliminate the Tustamina run, and then public broadcasting and Channel 9 ARCs, the ARC system, the satellite system that brings us Channel 9, all that would be cut. What do you see as your top priorities that you're going to be fighting for during this conversation?
So we're at the point now where we have spent down savings in Alaska to, we don't have a whole lot more savings that we can spend down without really not having much left in our primary savings account, which is called the Constitutional Budget Reserve Account. But if you stand back and look at the revenue that we have, the forecasted revenue from primarily from oil, and the annual draw that we're now using from the permanent fund itself, the earnings, we've got about $5.2 billion. And again, depending on how much of it goes to the permanent fund dividend, know, we have the money to fund most of the services in Alaska, but the tough choice is going to be, do we continue whittling away at a savings account that's dwindled down to less than a year's worth of deficit, overdraw the earnings from the permanent fund, which many down here really don't want to do, and, you know, how do we put a budget together that allows us to live within our current means and pay a comfortable permanent fund dividend, but at the same time, you know, not cut inordinately, you know, out of the school system or the university system or the marine highway system, public radio, on down the list. And it's going to be quite a challenge for us to meet in the middle with the governor and the House and the Senate on all that. And I guess I'll sum things up by saying that I think the legislature is going to come up with a pretty reasonable budget. We'll send it to the governor, and we'll work with him and see where it takes us.
Okay, so there, I guess to kind of step back for a second, what the governor did by releasing this budget is it shows, I believe, the people of Alaska, if you don't want any broad form of taxing like a income tax or a sales tax, and you want to have what you would call a quote-unquote full dividend based on the formula, this is what we can pay for. And it does give a very clear picture of what you could pay for without pulling off of the dividend and without a broad-based tax. Now, do you foresee, without cutting and without spending down all the savings, there has to be a form of revenue that comes in. Do you envision the legislature proposing a tax, or do you foresee the legislature needing to draw from the permanent fund dividend?
So is this in the context of keeping essential services largely intact and also paying a double-sized PFD?
Exactly, yeah. What do you think the legislators lean toward right now?
Well, that's the question of the hour. I mean, if we were to keep services held harmless in Alaska, everything that we've just talked about, education on down, and pay a $3,000 PFD, you're looking at having to come up with easily $1 billion from somewhere, or perhaps even more than that, $1.5 billion, depending on what ultimately gets into the budget. So where does that $1.5 billion come from? Because we don't have any new revenue sources, and it takes a while to put that into place and for the money to actually come into the Treasury. So let's take that off the list, no new revenues. So you're really left with, you know, essentially two other choices. You either take it from the earnings of the permanent fund or your last big savings account, or you cut the budget in a way that's going to have consequences. And, you know, it's a real difficult choice. And I've got to be honest, you know, I've always been a strong defender of the permanent fund dividend. I'm going to continue to make sure that we have as healthy and as big of a check as we possibly can. But, you know, when I have people come through the office, and I think more people around the state are seemingly weighing in saying, look, we want to have essential services. It's critically important. And at the same time, we want a PFD that's also going to ensure that tomorrow's generation, our kids, our grandkids, have a PFD. You know, I think people are coming around to recognizing that, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't have all the essential services, and you can't have the supersized PFD.
Do you think when we talk about the Tustamina Run being pulled out of the Alaska Marine Highway system, do you foresee something like that happening next year, or do you think that the Alaska Marine Highway will be able to survive past October? Do you think there will be a Southwest Alaska Run next year?
Well, I'm working with Representative Stutes and a number of others to make sure that we have it in the legislature's budget. You know, I worked with Senator Hoffman back in, was it 2007, 2008, when we got the operating monies back in so that we could have some service between May and September of every year. You know, we did put in $22 million a couple of years ago to match the $200-plus million to fund replacement vessel. And in the governor's budget, all that swept back into the general treasury. And to me, that's not acceptable. So I fully get how important the Tustamina services to the chain, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure it stays intact.
I think another big realization for people was that this budget that the governor proposed was not tax-free. It actually reallocates taxes that were shared with municipalities, such as fish taxes and property taxes up on the slope. But here in Sandpoint, fish taxes in King Cove and on Alaska, there's going to be a large portion of shared revenue. And I think it was something in the order of a couple hundred thousand dollars from the Sandpoint General Fund that would be removed if this went into effect. Do you see this? Are legislators standing up against that reallocation of funds, or do you see that actually happening?
Yeah, I don't see the governor's proposal to essentially, sort of take all the community share of the raw fish taxes. I don't see that bill going anywhere in the House or the Senate. The concern is that, if we don't hear his bill and it doesn't go anywhere, we essentially kill it, that he could still, in the budget, and I would hope he would not, I'm doing everything I can to implore him to not do it, is that he could, in the budget, still veto the amount out. And, I can tell you, as we speak, the city of Unalaska and the city of St. Paul were in the office earlier today, and that's one of their primary concerns as well. I've talked with the Aleutian Sea Squirrel folks earlier this year about it, and we had all met Swampsea just here recently. So, I don't think his legislation is going to go anywhere, and I'm really imploring everybody who comes through Juneau or who's got the ability to talk to the governor or his staff and really tell the story about how huge of an impact it is, not on local budgets, but the city manager from St. Paul was saying just a few hours ago, if you take that money out of a community, pretty soon the industry decides that maybe it needs to move its business somewhere else. So there's downstream impacts as well. So it would be devastating to our smaller coastal communities, no question about it.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine the impact, and it's a double hit. You get the revenue that helps to fund our city crews, our public utilities, and all those things. That gets taken, and then the services. Speaking of utilities, the power cost equalization, which allows us to have a competitive electric rate out here in the bush, that's built off of what some would call a savings fund, but it's an endowment that kind of has $1 billion used to make sure that this program is still alive, but that also would get pulled away underneath the governor's budget. Do you envision that there's a large support for the power cost equalization right now in Juneau?
Well, the fact that I'm speaker and that Representative Foster from Nome is co-chair of finance, I don't see the PC endowment being rated this year. There'll be many legislators who have their eye on it, and certainly, as you said, the governor in his budget proposal has the $1 billion swept into the general fund. I don't see that happening this year, I strongly, strongly oppose it.
So I think that one thing is that it's still so early to tell, what's going to happen. You have your priorities to make sure that there is still a ferry system operating here in the Aleutian chain to protect the power cost equalization, the fish revenue that comes into our communities, education, and all these things that really make our communities places that we're proud to live, not just places where people can live, but places that people are proud to live and enjoy. It's so early on to tell where this is going to happen, but you spoke briefly about the governor and the meeting that you just had with him. Is he open to the push? Has he seen the response that people are making? And is it giving him, an opportunity to reflect on his budget and say, okay, if this is what people want, maybe we do need to utilize revenue from other sources to pay for these services?
Well, we were talking a moment ago about telling the story of what these essential services mean to a small community. And that's what I've been working really hard on. And I know a lot of municipal officials, including the Aleutian Sea Squirrel folks and others from individual communities, have been working overtime doing their part as well. And I'd like to think that we're making some progress, just being able to put that picture together that, governor, that, maybe you put this budget out there with essentially a third of it displaced, you know, two-thirds of the budget, if you will, to get people's attention across the state. And I think you've succeeded in doing that. But now let's get down to the reality that there's human impacts and there's direct consequences on people's lives and communities being able to stay healthy and strong and have a school system that's the heartbeat of their community. But now it's time to make decisions that are rational and reasonable. And if we're going to do anything, albeit a change of the budget, let's do it over a multi-year period so there's there's time to adjust and to make you know, the changes in the school system, whether it be in broadband or whatever it might be, that we just simply can't do overnight.
Yeah, I think that we all understand, and this has been the reality for the last 3 or 4 years now, that Alaska is not able to survive solely off of petroleum taxes any longer. And, you know, the radio station, as an example, we've had our budget from what we get allocated from the state for KSDP, we've had half of our state funding cut over the last course of the 3 or 4 years. It happened 30% at a time. And that was a priority for Governor Walker, and it was hard, and adjustments had to be made, but it was something that I think people understood had to happen. Now we see just a wholesale cutting happening where all public broadcasting will be wiped out, including the satellite system that feeds Channel 9 and other resources, and it's just such a dramatic cut, and it's coming at a time where it's going to have such a huge impact. So I agree, we need to make sure that we do these things wisely and over time, perhaps, to make sure that the cuts don't have an adverse effect. But, you know, you can't fund a school if I get an extra $1,000 in my PFD this next year. I'm not going to be able to fund a school, or I'm not going to be able to fund the ferry system with that money.
Yeah, exactly. And it's putting people, you know, in the sort of the untenable position of having to choose between what's more important to them, a large PFD or keeping the school open, or keeping or, you know, having to do away with pick a number, a quarter of all the teachers, and what are the choices out there that people want to make? And it's getting that stark at this point.
Well, it's good to know that you're there, that you're in a position where you can say something and do something. To hopefully make a stand for the communities out here in the Aleutians East Borough. Representative Edgman, we do appreciate that. Hopefully we can have you on here again as things start to materialize and as the picture becomes a little more clear. I know it's still very early on, but just to see that these are the realities, that these things are right now on the chopping block, and that people are standing up to hopefully make sure these essential services are still with us, and at what cost it will take to make that happen. Now, do you see, I know one last question I'd like to ask, there's something like $16 billion sitting right now in the Permanent Fund Reserve, I believe is what it's called?
Earnings Reserve.
Yeah, so that's kind of the thing. They talk about paying back the PFDs from the previous years when that were cut, and that money went to this bank account that has about $16 billion in it. Why can't we just start pulling off of that amount to pay for things? Do you think that's what some people are thinking, or is that money untouchable? What do you see happening there?
So I think what you're describing is the permanent fund itself, which is essentially, if you think of a pie chart, big circle, about three-quarters of that would be the constitutionally protected part, and about a quarter of it is what's called the earnings reserve. That's where the earnings or the losses for the fund reside. And so for the first time, beginning in 2018, last year, we're now employing portions of the earnings of the permanent fund for PFDs as well as for essential services. Before 2018, all we used the money for permanent fund dividends and inflation proofing of the fund, but now we're drawing the fund down. We're using more of the earnings than we have in the past to pay for schools and public safety and other things like that, marine highway system. So we want to grow the permanent fund over time so it doesn't shrink, so it can continue to provide, again, permanent fund dividends and core government services for a state that's going to grow in population, where things always get more expensive. And, you know, we're going to need more, not less, going forward to make things whole. So the notion that we could go in and overdraw it now at a time we're looking ahead in the next 10-year span, it's expected that the permanent fund is going to earn less than it did in the years past, and that's for a whole host of reasons, slow growth in China, sort of global slowdown expected. So, from a long-term investment perspective, it would be very imprudent, if you will, at this point. I think most legislators subscribe to this, but it'd be very imprudent to overdraw the fund today, knowing that once you take the money out, it can't earn more money because you've taken it out. And so we have to keep the longer-term perspective in mind so that we can grow the permanent fund at the same time, I think I've said repeatedly this afternoon, have a reasonable budget and have a reasonable permanent fund dividend.
Well, I know your time is very valuable and that you have much to do, Representative Endrin, so I appreciate you coming on the air. Maybe in the next couple months, as the picture becomes clearer, if there are things that are happening where maybe people might want to be made aware that certain programs are going to be cut, and maybe it's time for people who care about those programs to contact the legislature or the governor's office, it'd be great to have you on again to get updates and to see how things are going.
Well, I would really appreciate it, Austin, and I would do my best to make room on my calendar to my schedule to be available. I think it's important to be in touch, and just let me know, and I would do everything I can to be on the show, and really appreciate the time today.
Well, we appreciate it as well. Thank you. Good luck down there, and we'll let you go. Is there anything that you'd like to say before you take off?
No. Let me just frame things out as we're closing here. We're a little bit past the halfway point of the session. We are going to go the full 120-day limit, so I expect session to go in the middle of May. And the budget is beginning to take shape in the House, although we still have a 2 or 3 more weeks' work on the budget. And the House Finance Committee, for the first time, I think, in Alaska's history, is actually leaving Juneau, and we're having smaller groups of the committee hold public hearings in a number of places around the state. I wish I could say that we were going to every community, but that's just not possible. And so, more to come. Good conversations with the House and the Senate. We're working together like we haven't in a long time. You know, just had a very cordial conversation with the governor. So would really encourage people to stay in touch. And if there's anything we can do down here, to please call us or to email us. Many folks have my personal cell phone, which I'm a little hesitant to give out over the radio, but definitely let us know what we can do to help you out, and be in touch.
All right. We'll make sure that we have the your office number posted on the website with this interview, so that way people can contact your aides and make sure that they can get messages across to you. And so we appreciate your time, Representative Edgman. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you more soon.
Thank you, Austin. It's been my pleasure.
All right. Thank you very much.